Welcome to Desert Island Discs. On this occasion with Paul Omani and Mitchell Simmons, author of the wonderful book Desert Island Discs, Flotsam and Jetsam. Fascinating facts, figures and miscellany from one of BBC Radio 4's best love programmes. Published in 2012. Well, Michael Simmons, what on earth do you have to say about Desert Island Discs? Well, we'll just give you an opportunity to say whatever you want to say, without the music. Okay, off you go, off you go. Your introduction. I don't want to achieve immortality through my work. I want to achieve it through not dying, said Woody Allen. Alas, Roy Plumley is no longer with us, but he achieved his immortality on the strength of a high concept idea he came up with more than 70 years ago. There was nothing new in asking people to nominate their favourite records. The book and the luxury came later, but what really made the programme unique was the desert island. The combination of the two meant that the music took on huge importance. This was it. There was no going back to the record shop. Your choices defined you. And that's where we, the listeners, came in. How much did we really know about politicians, film stars, or indeed our fellow citizens? Their choice of music revealed in the course of an interview in which they were often, and not deliberately, caught off guard, told us much more than mere words could ever have done. Whether it was Dame Edith Evans choosing Rawhide by Frankie Lane, Noel Coward selecting The Hole in the Ground by Bernard Cribbins as his favourite record, or even Jeffrey Archer asking for It's Hard to Be Humble by Mac Davis, Desert Island Discs has never lost its ability to surprise and delight the listener. As the writer of fun reference books, I'd often made lists of such interesting choices. I'd also put together lists of people who had chosen their own records, unusual luxuries selected, and people who had requested a specific song. For example, My Way. This was obviously a painstaking job, but one which, as a fan of trivia and the programme, I relished. And then two things happened. First, the creation of a fantastic website, Desert Island Discs, or bbc.co.uk, Desert Island Discs. Now everything was available. All the choices of records, books and luxuries with links to other guests who had made the same or similar choices. Then almost simultaneously, I was invited to compile this book to celebrate the 70th anniversary of this illustrious programme, first broadcast in January 1942. I thought I'd died and gone to heaven. Yep, that's the sort of man I am. But then who else would you want to do a book like this? Precisely. Paradoxically, the existence of such a brilliant site that was available to everyone was problematic. If this book was to be of any value, it couldn't just replicate the site. Obviously, I would be using it as my primary source. although I would also draw upon newspaper libraries and my own celebrity database. But it was important to derive, rather than merely reprint, from it. So it was that I found two people, Arthur Askey and Sir David Attenborough, who had been on the show 4 times. The 12 three-time guests and 225 two-timers, so to speak. Then there were the 82 husbands and wives, separately rather than together, the 10 fathers and sons, the 10 fathers and daughters, the 8 pairs of brothers, the 8 pairs of sisters, and the 7 pairs of brother and sister. Something interesting emerged through these lists. Of all the husbands and wives, only 3 pairs had been on in the past 17 years. Alison Steadman, 1995, and Mike Lee, 1997. Harold Evans, April 2000, and Tina Brown, December 2000, and Mira Seal, 2003, and Sanjeev Bhaskar, 2008. I should add, for the sake of rigorous accuracy, that they may not have been married at the time of their appearances. Sir Terence Conrad. Ah, look, hang on. You don't want to hear all the details of who is in and who is out of this, who is in and out of this. Let me just tell you a few things. Let me just tell you a few things about what I discovered. When it comes to the most popular non-classical music acts, there's no surprise that the Beatles, chosen 252 times, Frank Sinatra, 240 times, Bing Crosby, 166, Louis Armstrong, 136, Noel Coward, 131, are the most successful. However, I am surprised by how few castaways chose otherwise immensely popular acts and vice versa. Let me remind you, the cut-off date for this book is the 29th of January 2012, the 70th anniversary of the first programme. So it was that John McCormack, with 40, was chosen by more castaways than Carole King, Madness, Santana, Steely Dan, The Moody Blues, Hank Williams, The Carpenters, The Doors, Electric Light Orchestra, and The Small Faces put together. Similarly, I find it hard to believe that 10cc, Cream, Duran Duran, Chris Isaac, Said, Status Quo, Tom Petty and The Heartbreakers, Steve Winwood and Frank Zappa were all chosen just once each. And that not one of the Allman Brothers, America, Crowded House, Bo Diddley, Fairport Convention, The Four Tops, The Hollies, The Isley Brothers, Joe Jackson, Manfred Mann, Simple Minds, Sly and the Family Stone, and The Style Council was chosen at all. As for the book choices, see, everybody's allowed to have 8 records, 8 pieces of music, but then they're allowed to pick. They're given the Bible and they're given Shakespeare, but what's the book they're going to take with them? It's clear that some guests use the programme as an opportunity to show off their erudition, hence the popularity of Tolstoy, Proust and Joyce. As with the music choices, it's at least pondering some surprises. Proust alone was selected by more castaways, 48, then Evelyn Waugh, Ernest Hemingway, John Steinbeck, John Buchan, G.K. Chesterton, Agatha Christie, D.H. Lawrence, J.D. Salinger, Kinsley Amos, Saul Bellow, Anthony Burgess, Albert Camus, J.P. Dunleavy, John Fowles, Laurie Lee, Harper Lee, Doris Lessing, George MacDonald, Fraser, V.S. Naipaul, George Orwell, Kurt Vonnegut and John Wyndham put together. Meanwhile, it's extraordinary to think that not one of the novels by Martin Amis, J.G. Ballard, Truman Capote, Joseph Conrad, William Golding, Gunter Grass, Graham Greene, Ian McEwan, Iris Murdoch, Boris Pasternak, Terry Pratchett, Philip Roth, Solzhenitsyn, Muriel Spark, John Updike, or Keith Waterhouse was chosen at all. That's Graham Greene. As in the finest writer of the 20th century, I know I'm editorializing here. It is true that his brother, the former Director General of the BBC, Sir Hugh Greene, who came on in 1983, did choose as a record an excerpt from Graham Greene's In Search of a Character, Two African Journals, a work of non-fiction, but still it is extraordinary. Oh well, there's another time. Finally, a brief note about the castaways and their titles. I won't tell you anything about that, really. So, all I have to say at the end of this little note, introducing my book, is here's to the next 70 years. By the way, this is by the Sleepy Lagoon, composed by Eric Coates. So, this is going to be the theme. Desert Island Discs is going to be the theme that starts October in 2016. Yes, we're going to do our own Desert Island Discs. Day one. People will pick the first of their eight records. Introduce the music, talk about it, say anything at all they like about the music. Reminds me of my grandmother, reminds me of the day I did this and that. Whatever. Comes from childhood, comes from current day, anything at all they want to say. And that's the 1st of October. On the 2nd of October, it's the second choice. And so on all the way through. 8 days, 8 consecutive days. So by the end of the time, each person will have had a chance to choose their 8 and say whatever they want to about it. And after such a start, October will be listened to by millions all over the BBC. And Desert Island Disc will have been introduced to North America, to Canada, and to the United States, where one of those iconic programmes produced by BBC Radio 4, or BBC Radio, because I don't know if it was Radio 4 when it started first, but one of its most iconic programmes is almost completely unknown. So, the theme, Desert Island Discs, is going to inform, amuse, educate, enlighten, enrich the lives of people all over North America. And it's going to stir the hearts and minds of the British, the Scottish, the English, the Welsh, the people from the Isle of Man, even Jersey, Guernsey, Sark, and I'm forgetting a few places. And, as you can tell from the accent of the introducer of this particular audio, even the Irish. So there we are. October's on its way. You can start thinking what would be your 8 pieces of music. You're not allowed 9. You're going to be cast away on a desert island, and you don't know how long you're going to be on the island. Bye for now.